This is a Crestview Bible podcast. For more information, visit crestviewhutch.org.
It seems like there's a lot of pressures with having a merry and a happy Christmas. I've probably watched more holiday movies than I can count, even this year. So I come back and hit all the regular ones and try to catch all the new ones too. But this holiday pressure comes to focus in like every film, certainly every Hallmark movie. We like the big blow up at the end of Christmas Vacation. That's really about nobody's messing up this good old fashioned family Christmas, you know, and he just loses his mind. And there's this pressure that this is going to be good and right. Or we have all the pressure in the movie Elf to build up to this last scene where the dad, you know, we just need Christmas spirit. And if he would just, you know, that guy that played in The Godfather, if he would just sing, everything would be better. And then he finally sings and Christmas spirit takes to 100 and the sleigh flies. You know, if he could just get happy, this would make things all better. Or even Rudolph, if he would quit getting bullied on the playground, it would just be able to be useful in society. And if that guy that wants to be the dentist would be able to do his dental work, you know, the holidays would be so much happier. So we have an instinct that at the heart of Christmas is something good, something right, and something that embodies the real meaning of the season, that there's this pressure of good. There's also all kinds of messages that emerge during the holiday season. So in the famous song, Santa Claus is Coming to Town, we're encouraged to be on our best behavior. And why should we be on our best behavior? Because Santa sees when you're sleeping. I mean, is there a more creepy person on the planet? He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. And he knows if you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake. At the end of Frosty the Snowman, there's this message. Like, the magician is trying to recover. He's melted Frosty in the greenhouse. Am I the only one that's seen all these things? I mean, some of you are like, I thought we were in church. What is this? Like, anyway, at the end of Frosty, he's trying to recover the hat that created Frosty in the beginning because it's a magician's hat. And he wants his hat back. That's been the whole plot of the show. And he melts Frosty in the greenhouse. And he gets quite a lecture from Santa. Santa says, if you so much as lay a finger on the brim of that hat, I will never bring you another Christmas present as long as you live. And the magician says, never? And Santa says, never. The magician says, no more trick cards or magic balls or... And Santa says, no more anything. And the magician said, oh, that's not fair. I mean, we evil magicians have to make a living too. And Santa says this, here's your penance. If you'll go home and write, I'm very sorry for what I did to Frosty 100 zillion times. A hundred zillion times. And then maybe, just maybe, mind you, you'll find something in your stocking tomorrow morning. And the magician said, a new hat, maybe? Oh, yes, sir. Goodbye, everybody. I've got to get busy writing. Busy, busy, busy. I've got to get busy. There's plenty of stuff in the Christmas air about behavior modification. That if we could just do good, if we could just be better, then that would lead to all these benefits. And yes, I think in society we would all recognize, right, being a good person is better than being a bad person. But is that really what is at the heart of Christmas? Well, is Christmas just really about being happy no matter what and being more good than evil so that we can get all kinds of good stuff at Christmas? And today, I want us to just think about real quickly the good news of Christmas. What is the real good news of Christmas? So as a church, we've been in a series using the hymn, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, to kind of direct our thoughts to Jesus during this holiday season. And today there's a verse of that song that we're going to highlight, and here's what that verse says. O come, thou rod of Jesse, or thou root of Jesse, free, thine own from Satan's tyranny, from depths of hell thy people save, and give them victory over the grave. So there's this longing that this one who's God with us would come, this one who's descended from David. We heard that in the children's program, that he's a descendant of David, that he would come and save his people and give them victory. And this verse that we're focusing in on this week really roots us in the reality and the good news of Christmas. And that's really where Acts chapter 10 directs us to. Acts is written to kind of give us an orderly account. It's kind of part two of Luke's gospel. So Luke, who gave us the story of The shepherd's abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. He's written to a friend of his to give an orderly account of all that Jesus did. And he wants people like us to have certainty about what we believe. And so he's given us this account. And in Acts 10, it's the first time that the gospel is proclaimed to people like you and me, just regular old Joes who aren't Jewish. So I don't know if you're celebrating Hanukkah later today, but most of us are not Jewish. And so it's the gospel, it's the good news coming to people like us, regular salt of the earth people like you and me. What would Peter, who was one of Jesus' 12 disciples, want us to know what the good news is? What would he communicate to us is the good news that he had received from Jesus? And he makes a connection between Jesus and the good news. So that's the scripture passage. Acts chapter 10, verses 34 to 43. Here's the connection of how Jesus Christ, or Emmanuel, relates to the good news. Here's what Peter says in Acts 10, 34. So Peter opens his mouth and says, "Truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. And as for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he's Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of that, of all that he did, both in the country of the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sin through his name." So three quick connections real quick. I've made the point in my introduction that there's something good that we know is intrinsically tied to the Christmas season, and there's some sort of news that comes in the Christmas season. And so we want to find the connection between Jesus and that news. And the first connection is that the good news is for all people. That's where Peter begins in verse 34. This verse is great news for every one of us in this room, that God doesn't show partiality, that he doesn't prefer one race or one nation or one way of life over another. The good news is for all of us. It doesn't matter what your background is. Anyone can fear him. Anyone can do what is right and acceptable to him. Your life can change. It doesn't matter what you came in here with. It's open to all of us. So this passage not only tells us that there's an equal opportunity, but it also is inviting us, I think, from any situation in life. So some in this room come here with deep heartache. Some of you come in with untold hurt that you wouldn't want anyone else to know about. And you might even have scars that are either physical or mental, emotional scars from your past. There's maybe some trauma or some background that's untold. And the good news is for all kinds of people from all kinds of situations. It doesn't matter what your background is. The good news is for all of us. God's not demanding that your life change before the good news can come to you. He's saying that the good news was way ahead of you already. Like, no matter what situation you found yourself in, the good news was already there for people like you and me. It's there for situations just like this. So the good news is for you and me. It's for all people. That's the first connection. Secondly, the good news is about Jesus. It's about Jesus and what he's done. So in that whole verses 36 to 43, as we've been so well served by the children today to connect us, that Christmas is about Jesus. The good news for us came in a person. It came in Jesus, a person just like us. And those verses in this passage show us that we see that Jesus Christ, the Lord of all, he came preaching peace. We're told that he was baptized by John, and when he received the Spirit, he went out with power, and he did good and healed those who were oppressed by the devil. Their physical, spiritual, emotional, and mental hurts were met by good news in Jesus. And after doing all these things, he was put to death and cursed. Like, he was hung on a tree, which is a great big curse. It's like just putting a curse word right on the street corner. He's cursed, hung on a tree, but God raised him from the dead. He raised Jesus from the dead. And Jesus appeared to people and gave them a commission to tell you this news. So Jesus is at the epicenter of that good news. He's like the eye of the storm, and that good news is swirling and coming into your life, and it's causing all kinds of disruption and changing you. And Jesus is at the epicenter. He's the eye of the storm. He's coming in. He's going to judge the living and the dead, and he invites you to believe and receive forgiveness of sins. So there's a lot of Christmas chatter, if you watch the movies, about believing and seeing, believing and seeing. And here we're told by someone who physically saw Jesus rise from the dead that the good news is about him. It's centered in him. He can heal us from all that ails us, and he offers us forgiveness of sins. So think of that. All the wrong that you've done, all the ways that you've offended God, all the ways that you might be ashamed before him, that's all taken away when you believe in Jesus. It's not held against you any longer. He's not keeping a tally like, well, okay, now are you going to get better or not? Because I'm watching you when you're sleeping. I know when you're awake. You better be good, for goodness sake. No, he's saying, I know you're a train wreck. That's why I sent my son. That's why it's all about Jesus, because all that can be forgiven. All that shame can be taken away. So will you believe in him? Will you believe in him? Will you trust in him as your salvation and receive all these blessings he offers? The good news is for all of us, and the good news is about Jesus. And then once more over the passage, we could summarize the good news for us, which centers on Jesus, as being, it's a good news that frees us. It actually changes things about our lives. So you see that in the passage. I bolded some areas. I think they're bolded on the back side there in your notes. Jesus was healing all who were oppressed by the devil. He was raised on the third day, and whoever believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. So in Jesus, we can be freed from the devil's oppression. Those spiritual forces that are at work against you don't stand a fighting chance against Jesus. He's conquered. He's victorious. We're freed from sin because everyone who believes in Jesus receives forgiveness of his sins through his name. I mean, think of that. Isaiah puts it this way, like in nice white Christmas terms we can understand, that though your sins were as scarlet, they shall be made white as snow. I mean, just think about that picture. Am I the only one dreaming for a white Christmas here? I mean, like, I want it. I want the blanket of snow. I don't want to be able to see the roads on Christmas Sunday. And though my sins are like spray painting red on that snow, though it's that vivid, they can be wiped away and clean because of Jesus and what he's done. And as if that wasn't enough, we're also freed from death. Freed from death. Because God raised Jesus from the dead on the third day, death doesn't have the final say on those of us who are in Jesus. So I mentioned this in the last time I preached, that a lot of us, the holidays remind us of loved ones who are gone. And the great hope is that death isn't the final word for those who believe in Jesus. And so many of you, you can think of relatives that are gone. I talked about a couple weeks ago, just wanting to outlive my father, who died when he was 46. And I'm older than him now. And it's just so weird to think about that. But I know where his hope was, that death wasn't the final word of his life. And so this is what Jesus offers you. Because he was raised on the third day, he offers you freedom from death. And so do you long for these freedoms? To be freed from death? To have forgiveness? To be freed from the oppression of the devil? Well, look at what verse 43 says we should do. To him all the prophets bear witness. In other words, like anything you'd read in the Old Testament is pointing to this moment when Jesus came. And everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. So that's the invitation, to trust in Jesus and find the freeing work he's doing for all those who fear and trust him. Today, in conclusion, Jesus connects to the good news in three ways. It's good news for all people, it's a good news that's centered in Jesus, and it's a good news that frees us from the devil, it frees us from sin, and it frees us from death. So today, we don't need to end with some cliche. I mean, you know all the cliches, right? Jesus is the reason for the season, doggone it. Or I spell Christmas with a capital C. We don't need those cliches. Those are great. We can just see it here. Jesus came to bring good news. And the message is what was announced to those shepherds by the angels, right, that we heard this morning. Behold, hey, look at this. Hey, over here. I have good news of great joy for all people. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This is who's born for us. So, and in our passage that we looked at today, Peter's announcing the same thing. Hey, look over here. The gospel's come for all people. And that person who's come for all people is Jesus. And his work will save you. It'll free you from all that enslaves you. So will you turn from your life to his? Will you trust in him? Will you believe in him this Christmas and experience all that he came to change? And there's those of us in this room who know that, right? You might say, yeah, thanks for the reminder, Pastor. I've been, Christmas has been with a capital C for me since I was like 5 years old. I get it, right? Could you just transfer that to your face maybe this holiday season? Could you let other people know that this really matters in your life? Could you voice this to others? What would it look like for you to make this news known to others? Can others see that good news has come to you in a person, that you've been freed from sin, that you've been freed from death, that you've been freed from the devil's oppression? Now, I'm not saying just be fake this holiday season and put a smile on your face. I'm not saying that at all, because some of you are going through hurt. I know the realities of your life. I understand. The pressure on us is not that every Christmas just has to be fake jolly. Okay, that's not what I'm saying. But there is a contentment deep in your soul if you know Christ, that he satisfies no matter what you're going through. He's enough. And so could you direct your gaze to him, to that one who embodies the good news? Let's let the world have all the grinchy, scroogey ways, right? Let's let them specialize in that. Let's not be characterized by that for those of us who know Jesus and the good news that he's given for far-off people like us. Let's make that attractive. Let's let them see there's something about the way this person lives. There's something about the happiness that they have, even though they're going through hell on earth. There's something about the way they live that they are so content and satisfied. What is that? They have been freed from this in a way that other people aren't. So that's what I want you to make known to others. Know Jesus deeper this holiday season and make him known to others. So let's pray. Father, you've orchestrated good news for people like us in this room. You sent good news on the ground, like it moved in and has changed our lives. So would you cause us to center in Jesus in this season? Would his freeing work sever our ties with the devil's oppression? And I pray for those in this room who are facing the devil's oppression in their lives. Would you let that gospel power be flexed in their lives, that they would be freed? Would you give us a profound realization of our forgiveness, of all that you've set us free from, all the sin that you've forgiven? Some of us are more mindful of sins that have caused us to fail you than we are about your forgiveness. And so would you just remind us of that this season, that you have freed us? Would you cause us to live with such wonder and awe because death no longer has reign over us, that the world wonders what it is we've done? And might we be able to just say, it's nothing we've done, it's all him. So might we believe in Jesus this holiday season and experience all the good news that you've given us in him. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.